So I'd like us to begin tonight to listen together to this precious portion of scripture that I know we all love so much, and try and keep my words brief, because the Lord's words themselves are just so wonderful for us to hear and contemplate. But I'd like us to spend time in this in the Lord's discourse here during the Last Supper, as we continue on with our theme of the Lord's presence with his people. Because two of the most important things that the Lord speaks about here, that he teaches the disciples and us, is he gives us the promise of the Spirit dwelling with us, the great blessing on the other side of his resurrection, that the Spirit has come and is with us, God's presence with us. But also because he has a lot to say about where he will be, where our Lord currently is. He is bodily in heaven with the Father. And there's two rich, wonderful, comforting things for us to take time to contemplate. And I'd like tonight just to look at these, just the first few verses in chapter 14. And see that the Lord is giving help to troubled hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, by the troubles here that the disciples are feeling, he doesn't mean just the ordinary troubles of day-to-day life, but specifically the great spiritual trial that they're beginning to go into as he goes into the cross. If you let your mind think back to chapter 13, as I'm sure you know, immediately before this, the Lord hands a piece of bread to Judas, and Judas goes out. So the first spiritual trouble is the attacks of evil men. Judas is engaged in a conspiracy to undermine and to eventually betray and kill the Lord Jesus. But then the second thing that they're troubled by is the Lord says that he is going. He has been everything. Their teacher, friend, Lord, master, father in a sense. And he says, and now I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to be going. So there is the spiritual trouble of the Lord's mysterious ways when his plans are beyond our understanding. Or perhaps you could even say by analogy when his presence seems far away. And then the third trouble they've got as well is trouble with themselves, their own sins and failings. You know that immediately before this, at the end of chapter 13, Simon Peter says with rash confidence, "I'll never leave you, Lord." And the Lord prophesies and warns him, "You will deny me three times." And so that's the context of him then saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." So isn't that quite astonishing? Aren't those really the things that actually trouble us the most? There are outward troubles, and then there are troubles of the heart, spiritual troubles, that are the most difficult to cope with and work your way through. The attacks of evil. Where is our relationship with Christ? And our own sins and failings. And the Lord's answer to all of that is, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." The remedy for a troubled heart is, he says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He says the remedy for a troubled heart is to have faith, to grow in faith, to grow in faith and to trust him more. His call to have faith here is, it's really quite something, isn't it? He doesn't spell out for the disciples in detail everything that's going to happen. There's still so much that they don't know. They are in the dark. So much that they've not understood. And the Lord doesn't explain everything and lead them all through it step by step, but he says, "Trust me. Trust me." And so often, isn't that actually God's way with us? He doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow or give us all the answers so that we know everything that's going to happen that we're going to go through. But he says, "Trust me." And step by step, he wants us to rely upon him as he leads us through. It's a bit like I think of when you're walking out on the streets at night in the dark and you get the light from one street light here, and then there's a bit of darkness before you come to the next one. And often it feels a bit like that with the Lord, doesn't it? And often we go from points of seeing things clearly, and we have to journey on to the next point. And often that's how the Lord does lead us, step by step, by faith. Doesn't show us everything. There's an old hymn that's one of my favourites, where one of the lines in it says, I do not know the way I go, but oh, I know my guide. And so whatever our troubles that might be troubling our hearts, the Lord says, trust me. Trust me, your guide. And particularly to grow in that trust. There's questions about how to translate verse 1, because the statement you believe and the command to believe, they're actually the same in Greek. But I think this is the right translation in the New King James. He says, you believe in God. They do have a sincere faith in God. They know God as their covenant Lord, their Redeemer, the faithful God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know him as the Lord, the covenant God revealed in the scriptures, and as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know those things. They believe those things. And he's saying they need to grow in faith and say, believe in me, he says. Believe now in this fuller revelation that comes in the Lord Jesus, that here is God the Son, come as Savior, come as the God-man, come to reveal to man an abundance of love bigger than anyone had could have imagined. That even while we were enemies, such a mystery that God the Son would take on flesh and die in the place of sinners. It's the height and the culmination of this great plan of redemption. And he says, there's so much more. And they must let their faith grow and trust in him. So again, the help for our troubled hearts is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who our God is and what he has done for us. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. So whatever comes, trust him. I don't know what particular spiritual trials you may be going through, brethren, but I do know that you can trust him. He says, trust me. Looking at verse 2, again, we do not know everything about the way, but we can be sure of the destination. We can know the end, where he will take us. We should believe in his promise of God's house. There are, in God's house, his Father's house, many mansions. So, of course, what is he speaking about here? It's such a rich image, isn't it, to speak of his Father's house. Well, the word that's translated mansions is more literally the Greek, a word for dwellings. And it comes from a Greek word, meno, that is very, very important in John's gospel. Sometimes it's translated as abide, or dwell, or remain. But, you know, it's possibly the most important word in John's gospel. It's there all the way through. In fact, the very first time that we meet Jesus himself, when the first disciples of John come and meet with him, and they ask, where are you dwelling? It's a key word all the way through this discourse, when he talks about the Spirit dwelling with us, or God dwelling in us, and we going to dwell with him and learning to abide and dwell in him. And one of the things this word conveys is a permanent dwelling place. It's not like the word for tabernacle, which implies a temporary dwelling place, which comes up and goes down like a tent. It implies a permanent, solid, fixed dwelling place. Think of, although he doesn't use the same word, think of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says, you know, this earthly body will come to an end, but we have a more permanent dwelling place, eternal in the heavens. And that's the contrast, that in this life, I suppose you could say, we'll have many homes, many dwelling places, But there's a permanent dwelling place that will be forever in the Father's house. And by Father's house, some have wondered if it refers to a practice common in Israel at the time, that when the father, who's the head of a household, welcomed in new family members through marriage, or when his sons came of age, that it was actually quite common to build on to the father's home and add extra bits to the house, so the son would have a dwelling place there as well, connected to it. So some have wondered if that's something of the metaphor here, that as we are adopted into God's family, he's building and adding on in God's house room for us. I think actually probably what it's really reminding us of is the temple. Is God's holy dwelling place. Ultimately that is heaven. But this idea that there's many dwelling places in God's house is emphasizing to us the place that there is for all of us in God's presence. Again, the abundant provision of grace in the gospel. That God is saying, and for you, my child, and for you, my child, here there is space for all of you in my house, coming into my presence. That holy place of which the earthly temple was just the type and the shadow. But either way, it's a wonderfully comforting promise that our permanent dwelling place in the end is going to be in the presence of God, our Father. And with the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The emphasis is, will be with him, his glorious presence. And that's what we're to look forward to. That's our great joy and hope, that we will be with him. What makes a place a home? When we've gone on holidays with the children, and they've sometimes found that a bit strange that we're staying in somebody else's house and things like that. And Kristen and I like to say to them, home is wherever mummy and daddy are. And with that, I hope that not being too simplistic, your home, Christian, your real permanent home is with your father. And that's what the Lord is saying here as a great comfort to the disciples. And he's saying, believe in it. Trust it. And trust in him. Again, here's that extra dimension. Because he's going to prepare a place for you. So this great disaster of him leaving, as he unfolds the mystery of God to them, he says, actually, it's going to be for all for your benefit. To go and prepare a place for you. What is he saying? He's actually talking about the cross. He's actually talking about his death and resurrection. Because that's where he's going to pay the price to secure this dwelling place for us. And so again, he's calling us to trust him. And to trust that he's our guide. I love that he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that wonderful? The faithfulness of the Lord Jesus, his love for you, his integrity, his faithfulness, is unimpeachable. It is so rock solid. You can rely here, not just on his faithfulness, but on his goodness towards you. There'll be no disappointment. He promises this to us. So for our troubled hearts when spiritual trials come, just very simply, the Lord says, trust him. And to remember where our true home is and that he's prepared that place for us. Again, I hope it's not a too simple a picture, but a long time ago when I first moved to America, I moved out of this very dingy student flat and landed in America with literally just two suitcases. And I felt so anxious and nervous because all I'd had from the church was Yeah, don't worry. We've got a place prepared for you. Don't worry. And I just honestly was so astounded by the kindness of the church that this lovely American couple took me in, and they had this amazing house in the woods, like this luxury building. And they said, while you're here, we'd love to be like your American mum and dad and look after you. And then they showed me in the basement, the church had got all this furniture and essentials and blankets and foods and things to go into the manse when it was going to be ready. And I just felt like, wow, I had been so nervous and unsure and just had to trust them. And then it was so much more. In a very, very small way, I hope that gives you a picture of what the Lord is saying here. We're still on the journey. We can be nervous. There's many trials. But no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for you, saint, in this home, this dwelling place with your Father. All is prepared. That will be our dwelling place with God. Can I pray for us? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that to see the Lord Jesus, to sit at his feet and listen to his word, is to see and to know you. And we thank you, Lord, for your generosity, your grace, your tender loving kindness in sending your Son so that he could prepare a place for us in your house, in our true home above, our dwelling place with you. We do confess, Lord, that we face many spiritual trials in this life. But we thank you that we can know the end of where you are safely guiding us. And we pray, Lord, that at each step our faith would grow, that we would grow, Lord, in our trust and our confidence in you. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.